Loving kindness is a decision to open and to soften and to surrender. And this way we'll be exploring opening our hearts today is actually to expand our capacity to show up, to be present, and to be intimate with our lives. So we're going to be experimenting with that in a number of ways. Some of the ways we'll be learning together is through guided meditation. We'll have periods of walking meditation. And we'll also have some exercises where you'll be invited to share and talk to each other as a Sangha. And the reason for that is that when we connect to each other, there's a certain invocation of the heart that automatically happens because we're making contact with each other. So we'll really work with our Sangha in that gentle way to wake up through our connections with each other and our presence with each other. Henry Brandt says that our love needs to be bigger than our insanity. And it's a lot of insanity out there, and there's a lot of insanity in here. You know, real close friends, our thoughts and our ways that we kind of relate to our thinking. You know, we'll have a chance to really do some discerning around whether we're really being insane or opening a little wider to love. We want you to know that whatever arises today, whatever that you feel that you open to, that you tumble into, is really okay. We want you to be gentle with yourself as you open and soften the hard boundaries that define the ego. When we start working with the heart, we're actually softening, as Choyen Trungpa Rinpoche says, you know, that soft spot is the hard, the hardness that gets formed around the ego. So we're going to be looking at how we soften those edges a bit and relax into the awareness of the truth that lives loud and vast within us. So I thought we could start with guided meditation, unless you'd like to add anything. Let me just say out loud that thank you for inviting me to partner with you today. And there's so many beautiful people that have participated in supporting us, Rebecca and Janet and Glenn and the other volunteers and this beautiful center. There's just a lot of love offerings that's been happening, and you're one of them.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. And I just want to add my welcome to Ruth's welcome, to say that there's nowhere in the world that I would rather be than here today, and nobody I would rather be teaching with than Ruth, who has a beautiful heart. And I'm really looking forward to this time of really, as Ruth was saying, this time of kind of exploration and practice together. We all know what it's like when the heart is closed. You know, when we're caught up in fear, or we're caught up in anger or wanting, and I think of it as like the sun going behind the clouds. You know, we just don't have access really at that time to our hearts. We feel separate. We feel, you know, like we're on our own. We feel I'm here and you're there and the world is out there. And really what we'll be doing today is just inviting, as Ruth said, this, the opening of the heart as a conscious practice. You know, it's something that naturally arises, and it's a practice that we can cultivate. And it's a beautiful practice that's been done for thousands of years now, going back to the time of the Buddha and earlier even than the time of the Buddha. So we'll be talking more about this and kind of giving more of a frame. But I just wanted a couple of things I'd like for myself to dedicate today to a dear friend who's in the very last period of her life, a very dear friend of Marcia and mine and perhaps others here, Sarah Satterthwaite. We've been meeting together as a group for 7.5 years every Tuesday morning. And she is, you know, who knows, whether the days, hours, weeks, whatever, but it's kind of ineffable. and she is living this process with her heart really open, I see, as, you know, through these practices. And I would just request, if you can, include Sarah in your loving kindness today, just to send wishes to her as kind of this her journey continues. Yeah, just that.
So let us begin by turning our attention inward. Take a few minutes to allow me to guide you in a settling in meditation. And if you can find that place of centeredness right where you are. You can close your eyes because there's no need to see with your eyes right now. And take a few deep breaths. And for now, place your attention on the exhale. And as you begin to become a bit centered with the breath, you might want to do a gentle body scan to just acknowledge any places of tightness. Some people like to start at their toes and move up. Or there could just be an open awareness. And allowing a gentle attention to honor any contraction. Using the breath as a tranquilizing quality as you sit, our natural medicine of presence. And taking your time. Allowing the belly to be soft, your chest and throat, bringing your attention to the breath, allowing the breath to be your friend. This is soft awareness. no need to effort in any way. The breath is always with you, and it's always in present time. And gently open your awareness to a full body awareness. An awareness where your mind is not detained by any thought or feeling or focus. Allow your attention to be soft. And within this spaciousness or this openness, allow yourself to reflect on why you came today. What motivated you to show up today? To opening the heart to loving kindness retreat. What's that about for you? Whatever that's about for you today, you can imagine the millions of people throughout the world that sit with that same inquiry or challenge. And we sit for them today as well. Including loved ones in your life. A gentle, inviting people that you love into this heart space today. Perhaps there is an intention you can set for the day. It can be very simple. Allow that intention to be soft.
So you might let yourself sit with that aspiration, how you want to be here today, and just what brought you here today. Be able to come back to that. And remember, it's our intentions that really kind of plot out our actions and our words. They come from intention. And what we'll be cultivating today very much is intention. The intention of sending well wishes, sending kindness, friendliness, loving kindness to ourselves, to others, and out radiating out to the world at large. It doesn't mean that we have to necessarily be feeling it at this moment. And often we might be feeling the opposite. We might be feeling annoyed, frustrated, you know, not very kind and not very loving. And that's fine. It's the intention, it's the wish. So finding that space in our hearts, maybe it's just a very small space where there's that sense of, yes, I do want to wish myself kindness, love, friendliness, and others as we go out. And we'll talk about, I want to talk now about kind of the form of the practice and where this comes from in the Buddhist tradition. So the theme of our time today, of our retreat today, is opening the heart and really cultivating an open heart. And the word in the Pali language, which was the first language of that the Buddha's teachings were written down in, is metta. Metta, loving kindness. In Sanskrit, it's Maitri. And it's one of what are called the four Brahma Viharas. Brahma Viharas. And these two words, Brahma translates as the gods, kind of celestial realm, if you like. And Vihara is a home. So these are often translated, these four qualities that I'll speak about, are often translated into English as the divine abodes. They're beautiful qualities of heart and mind that are accessible to us, that are naturally arising, and that we can cultivate. So let me just mention these four qualities. Loving kindness, which is the kind of, if you like, the foundation, metta, that we'll be really focused on today. The second is compassion, or karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A in Pali, karuna, which is when an awakened loving heart meets suffering, meets the suffering of another person or our own suffering. What naturally arises is the heart opens in compassion. It's often called the quivering of the heart in response to suffering, the quivering of the heart. So when we see suffering, if we're closed down in fear, or in anger, in separation, we're not able to open our hearts to see and experience and feel the suffering of another, or even of our own suffering. But when we can allow our heart to be open, what naturally arises is the caring. In the way that if we have a child and our child, you know, something difficult happens at school, or they fall in the playground of the kid, you know, naturally we reach out to them, to hold them, to let them know everything will be okay. And it's really this quality of the heart open. But it's not just restricted or limited to a few people, you know, to that limited circle, but, you know, our close friends and our family. It's a quality that is really, when it's fully cultivated, is boundless. It's actually called, in some Buddhist traditions, these qualities are called the four immeasurables. Immeasurables. Because they can't be measured. There's no end to the possibility of the heart opening. And we see that in some people, you know, around, you know, you see the Dalai Lama, for example, and, you know, the way the Dalai Lama will relate to somebody, you know, staying somewhere who's, you know, cleaning up, who most people would kind of like, oh, you're not an important person, you're not in my vision. But, you know, I've heard stories of the Dalai Lama at the end of staying at a hotel, kind of asking to meet with every one of the staff, and as he does, just kind of looking in their eyes and bowing to them and holding their hands and staying with them and really say, I see you, just really conveying that. And it's this quality of an open heart that doesn't have any boundaries. And it's not necessarily where we are at any given moment. We might be in a very different place. We might be in a much more defended, guarded, fearful, angry, whatever place. But it's really this practice of kind of cultivating and opening the heart. It may be the heart is only open just this much, but we can cultivate that. And I'll talk about the ways in which we do that. So loving kindness, karuna, or compassion, when this quality of heart, of an open heart or an awakened heart, meets suffering in another or in ourselves. The third of these Brahma Viharas, or divine abodes, is called in English sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. It's mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A in the Pali language. And it's when an open heart meets the happiness of another. You know, we're much more kind of tend to see if somebody's doing well, we're kind of, why are you doing well? You know, we kind of compare ourselves to them and, oh, I wish I could. You know, sometimes we might be a little bit envious. But this is the heart when somebody is, you know, is being successful, is happy, is joyful. We're happy and joyful in their happiness. And that is what this quality of mudita is, this quality of sympathetic joy, joy in the well-being, the happiness of another. And the fourth of these qualities is equanimity. It kind of has the wisdom component. It's experiencing joys and sorrows with an even mind, with a balanced mind. So not kind of holding on to, oh, I like this is pleasant, or pushing away this because it's unpleasant or difficult, but learning to flow with the joys and sorrows of life. The Taoists speak about life's 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. And it's really just kind of appreciating that. And this quality of equanimity, or upekkha, kind of really weaves through all of these four qualities of the Brahma Viharas. I like to think of these qualities as not so much separate qualities or states, but really facets of the same quality of the heart opening, but just meeting different circumstances, different situations, kind of same, different facets of the same jewel. So these are beautiful qualities of heart and mind. And the Buddha said we should strive to always keep our heart and mind in one of these states. You know, that may be for us at times maybe a high bar, but just kind of to reflect on that, always be in the state of compassion or mudita, of appreciative joy or equanimity, or the quality of loving kindness. They're boundless, they're immeasurable, they're Unconditional, that's really important, because when we think of love, it really often for us, particularly in the way it's talked about in our culture, has very much a conditional quality to it. You know, I love you if you love me. I love you or care for you as long as you give me what I'm looking for. You know, and this is a quality, the qualities we're cultivating today are not dependent on somebody else giving something back to us. They're not conditional. They don't depend on anything. They go out in this kind of like water flowing out, you know, flowing out from the heart and taking in everything that comes, that it meets, that these qualities meet. So the Buddha talked about kind of two fundamental practices that we engage in to help awaken our hearts, to help lead us to freedom from suffering, which is the end of the path, freedom from affliction, freedom from painful states of heart and mind. And he said these two practices are really very, very simple there. He said, abandon what is unskillful and cultivate the good. So abandon, let go of afflictive states of heart and mind, greed, hatred, delusion, anger, jealousy, blame, all these qualities that keep us closed, keep us separate from ourselves and from others. Abandon them. He didn't say push them away, get rid of them, resist them. We don't need to. We just need to open to them. And as the Tibetans say, if we really allow our heart to open, these qualities actually self-liberate. I love that expression, they self-liberate. It's not like we're doing something with them. I've got to get rid of my anger. Or I've got to, you know, get rid of my judgment. But more just, oh, this is the mind inclining in that direction, inclining towards judgment, inclining towards blame. Can I just notice that, see it, and let it go? So abandoning what is unskillful. And we do this with our practice of mindfulness, this mindfulness of bringing a kind of kind, non-judging awareness to our experience. What am I aware of right now? What am I experiencing? What am I seeing in this moment? Can I open to this? Can I be with this moment just as it is? So this practice of mindfulness that is fundamental to what we'll be doing today, the practices we'll be cultivating. Mindfulness has this quality as well of kindness to it. We can't really be mindful of our experience unless we're being kind. You know, it's not just a question of aware. I'm aware of this. What am I noticing? It's really allowing whatever is here to be as it is. It's kind of letting everything in. And necessarily that quality of mindfulness brings with it a quality of kindness, acceptance. We use a lot of words like welcoming, allowing, letting this moment be as it is, saying yes to this moment, saying yes to this experience. So abandoning what is unskillful, basically by just being aware of our experience and letting it all, seeing the impermanence of it, and letting it all come and go. And the other quality is, the other practice really is to cultivate the good. Cultivate, actively cultivate qualities of heart and mind that it will be, that are conducive to waking up, that are conducive to happiness, well-being, freedom from suffering. There's a lovely way that the Buddha put it in the teachings. He said, abandon what is unskillful. He said, one can abandon the unskillful. If it were not possible, I would not ask you to do it. If this abandoning of the unskillful would bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to abandon it. But as it brings benefit and happiness, therefore I say, abandon what is unskillful. So abandon, let go of, just let go of the qualities of mind where we're in that closed place, that judging place, that place of separation from ourselves and others. Let just see the kind of the arising of these qualities and just let them come and go. It's only when we get in a fight with our experience, we try to hold on or we try to push away, that's when we suffer. But if we can just be with, open to, allow, welcome, then everything can come and go in its own time. It's all, you know, as the Buddha said, it's all impermanent, it's selfless, it's kind of impersonal, and it can't be clung to. None of it can be clung to. So that's the kind of the basic practice of mindfulness that we'll be weaving through the day, of just awareness of our experience in a non-judging, non-striving, kind, friendly way. And the other practice we'll be doing will be a more consciously a cultivation practice. We'll be cultivating these qualities of the Brahma Viharas, and particularly the quality of loving kindness, of metta. The Buddha said, cultivate the good. One can cultivate the good. If it were not possible, I would not ask you to do it. If this cultivation were to bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to do it. But as this cultivation brings benefit and happiness, I say cultivate the good. So this is, I love the way, you know, that's the kind of the kindness of that, you know, translation of the Buddha's teachings. I wouldn't ask you to do this if it didn't lead to your well-being and happiness. So, but because it does, I invite you, and it's all an invitation. It's not, it's got to do it this way. It's an invitation, it's an exploration of these qualities. How can I cultivate? What helps me? What helps any of us to cultivate an open, loving heart? And we'll be doing a lot of different practices today. And some of them, I'm sure, will resonate for you, with you, more than others. And this is really, I see this loving kindness practice, perhaps more than any other practice within these kind of the Buddhist teachings, as really an art, really finding our own way. You know, what is it that most helps us open the heart? It's not like we've all got to do it this way. It's not about what we should be doing. It's about, like, what is it that allows my heart to be open in this moment? What is it that helps me cultivate this quality of loving kindness? There's a lovely story of how these teachings of loving kindness originated, and kind of just the outline of it, and we can see it as a legend that's come down over hundreds of years. But what happened was the monks and nuns would, during the rainy season in northern India, would go out and do a rains retreat. You know, and before they'd established formal monasteries, they'd do the retreat in woods and quiet places. And one group of monks went out to a wood and or a forest to meditate for this period of the rains. And legend goes that the tree spirits that inhabited that wood were not happy with these monks coming along and nuns and interfering with their quietude and their quiet wood. And so they emitted bad smells, scary sounds, and the monastics were really fearful. You know, it was like, you know, you're in a woods and all these weird noises and scariness and bad smells and all of that. And the monastics, the monks and nuns, came to the Buddha and said, can we meditate somewhere else? Can we find another place to meditate that's more friendly and more kind? And the Buddha said, no. He said, but I will give you a practice that will help you work with fear, work with painful qualities of heart and mind when they arise. And this practice was the practice of metta, of loving kindness, of sending wishes of well-being to ourselves, to dear ones, to friends, to those we don't know, to difficult people. And we'll be exploring this today, these practices today, and ultimately going out to all beings everywhere. And the story goes that the monks and the nuns went back to the wood, and they practiced loving kindness, and the wood spirits were filled with kindness and friendliness, and they supported the monastics rather than, you know, so the smells and the sounds ended, and it became a harmonious place and time to be practicing. And I think we see this ourselves, you know, we can see that as a legend, but we see it in ourselves when our hearts are open and when we're expressing kindness, love, compassion, friendliness to ourselves and to others. That resonates, you know. You've probably heard of the mirror neurons and what the science is telling us about how we kind of cue in, plug in. You know, when somebody's angry, they don't need to say anything. They come in a room and they're, you know, emanating this kind of energy of anger. We all pick up on it. You know, it's like, you know, better not say something, you know, rub them the wrong way. You know, we feel that energy. There's much more going on than, you know, we pick up just through our brains. You know, our whole nervous systems, we're tuning in all the time. We're doing it right now. And we're doing it when we express loving kindness and friendliness. That gets picked up. And we really create a field of loving kindness and friendliness, compassion. And I think that's what we'll be doing today together, is really creating this field, not as some kind of ideal or as a concept, but as a real kind of expression and experience of how we're supporting each other in our practice. The word metta is very closely related to another Pali word, which is mitta, M-I-T-T-A. And mitta is the word for a friend. So we're really, this quality of metta is really kept sending out friendship or friendliness. You know, it's important to say we don't have to, it doesn't mean we have to love everybody. Oh, you know, I love you. This isn't really what we're cultivating. There will be people who, you know, who we don't like, who on a personality level we may find real difficulties with. We may not want, there may be people who've harmed us, who we don't want to, you know, we don't feel safe to be around. But the practice is not to put anybody out of our hearts, to let our hearts be open, even if they're not part of our lives, to wish them well. And it's this quality of wishing well that we're cultivating. We can, lots of different words, loving kindness, friendliness, care that we're sending out and we're cultivating. Just a few more things about the practice kind of before we get into some sitting. This quality of loving kindness and the other qualities of the Brahma Viharas arise naturally when we're not caught up in afflictive states of heart and mind. Kind of their naturally arising qualities, when the anger or the fear or the greed falls away, what naturally opens up is the heart expresses itself in friendliness. Kind of that's the natural expression, and compassion when we meet suffering, and joy when we meet happiness, and equanimity when we find ease and balance in the different conditions, the changing conditions of life. It's hard to experience these qualities when we are caught up in anger or blame or fear. We lose contact with our awakened heart. And so while these qualities arise naturally, they are also qualities that we can consciously cultivate. We can expand the capacity of our heart to open in friendliness to ourselves, to those we're close to, and those we're more distant from, until we include everybody everywhere. What's important to say in this practice is we start where it's easiest. You know, if our heart's closed and we're in a tight place, it wouldn't serve us to practice loving kindness with the most difficult person in our life. Sometimes that might be ourselves, you know. You know, we start where the heart can most easily be open. You know, for me, two very easy places. And my mother, you know, I think of all the love and kindness that she's shown to me and to our family and to everybody in her life. And I think of my two little grandchildren particularly, they're very easy. If I think of my partner, there's a lot of love, but there's more, you know, things, other things come in more easily, and maybe I have to start with my grandchildren, and then there's kind of like, there's not a lot of complexity there. There's not a lot of, oh yes, but, you know, oh, that's difficult. It's like, let the heart be open, and then we can move out to kind of people we don't know, people we have difficulties with. A friend of mine, a teacher on the West Coast, Andrea Feller, has a beautiful image of this. There are apparently some pools in Hawaii, waterfall with seven pools. And what happens is when one pool fills up, the water from that then flows into the next pool. And then when that pool fills up, the water flows into the next pool. So all of these pools fill up. And I love that image of practicing loving kindness. And when the pools of, you know, those we can practice more easily with fill up, then there's space to go out to people who are, you know, maybe we don't have a connection with, the mail carrier, you know, the assistant in the store, you know, we might see, and we don't have any sense of their lives. But as the heart opens, we can include them. And then we can include those we have real conflict with, maybe a workmate where we're in conflict, or a boss or somebody else that, you know, that we're really in a tight place around. We have to work our way to it. We have to let the heart soften and open. So in this practice, we start where it's easiest, and then we kind of go outward. And traditionally, we begin with ourselves. We go out to somebody who we call a benefactor, somebody who's really loved us and cared for us, or loves and cares for us. We go out to a dear friend, a neutral person, a difficult person, what's called in the ancient tradition, the enemy. You go out to include the enemy. We kind of soften it to the difficult person or the challenging person in our lives, or people in our lives. And then ultimately including everybody. So we'll be practicing in this way today. And just a few final things we'll be doing, just to talk about what we'll be doing today. What I'm going to do, and what we traditionally do, is use certain words and phrases to help us kind of focus on our intention of loving kindness to ourselves and others. And I'll use these very simple, may I be happy, may you be happy, may I be healthy, may you be healthy, you know, going as we go out, may I be safe, may you be safe, may I live with ease, may you live with ease. But we don't have to use those phrases. I'll just use those as a kind of a basic template, and then you can find what works for you. For some people, there's no need for the words and phrases. It's more a kind of feeling, a felt sense. Others will use their own, and we'll give some other suggestions. You know, may I accept myself just as I am? May I be free from inner and outer harm? So we'll be kind of working in this way, using phrases if they're helpful to us. We can also use visualization. You know, we can visualize, we can see a picture of our, you know, kind of the image of ourselves or of another person. You know, sometimes people have real difficulties sending loving kindness to themselves. So, you know, one thing that can be helpful is just to bring an image of yourself as a baby or as a young child, and to kind of have that image, and then the heart may be able to soften and open more than you can with yourself at this particular moment in your life. So the visualizations can be helpful. Also, just touching into the feelings in the body. How does this feel in my body right now? What am I aware of? Particularly in the heart area. Just to open to the sensations that are present, perhaps the beating of the heart, the warmth that may arise at different times. So what we're doing is we're cultivating the intention, the wish for well-being, for happiness for ourselves and others. And sometimes the opposite arises. We feel anger, we feel judgment, we feel doubt. You know, why am I doing this? This isn't working. You know, all of these kind of more difficult qualities can arise. And the invitation, and we'll speak about this, will be to meet whatever arises with an open heart, with as much kindness as we can find. So if we find ourselves caught up in anger, just see if you can meet anger with kindness, with friendliness. And we give you some suggestions and instructions on that. One more thing to say is, there's nothing about this practice that's about shoulds. You should do this, you should do that. It's really cultivating and developing the practice that works for you, that really serves to allow your heart to be open to yourself, to others, and to the world. This practice, I think of more than anything else as a planting of seeds. I think it's very helpful to see it that way, because sometimes we can feel, I'm doing this loving kindness meditation, but I'm feeling anger and judgment. I'm feeling greed. I'm feeling hatred. You know, why did I come today? And it's not a problem. What loving kindness can do, it can be like a magnet that attracts its opposite. It's often called, it's a purification practice. You know, what can arise is the opposite of loving kindness. And that's not a wrong thing. That's not a bad thing to happen. It's like, oh, this needs to be paid attention to. I need to open to this. What's happening here? Just recognize what's happening. Allow it. Be interested in it. Be curious. So just to really, really put that across as clearly as possible, that whatever arises today is okay. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is bad, or it should be different than it is. So planting these seeds. We don't know where and how they'll blossom or bloom, the seeds. There's wonderful stories, and I won't go into them now, but about how, you know, how somebody is practiced. And then at a later time, you know, the heart opens in really unexpected ways. So it's not necessarily, or certainly not exclusively, or all about what happens today, how open your heart becomes today. Wonderful if the heart opens, yes, but it's really planting these seeds of intention that can blossom when they're ready to blossom. You know, when we plant seeds, we don't say, oh, let me pull this flower up. It should be ready by now. It should be blossoming now. We let it, we plant the seeds, we give it the water and the nutrition and the sun to allow it to bloom. And then when it's ready, it'll bloom.